the Victorian Country Hour with Warwick Long on ABC Radio Victoria.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Country Hour. Warwick Long in, not in the studio today, actually in Dookie at the University of Melbourne Dookie campus, where the largest Agricultural Careers Day for students is currently going on right now. I can see students from all different schools, from all different year levels, mainly year 9, 10, 11. The Kyabram students were just walking in front of me just before as they were checking out the grounds for a Young Farmer Challenge. We'll get into that in just a few moments. But they're actually here to learn about the future of agricultural careers and have a look at different doorways into the industry. There's been a number of different tours to robotic dairies and looking at practical things like shearing and wool classing, but there's also things like environmental science and looking at windows into robotics, into lab work, into all sorts of different things as well. So we're going to learn a lot more about it very shortly on the program. We'll bring you a bit of the action from the Young Farmer Challenge as well, which you can probably hear going on behind me. It's incredible. I've got wool on the ground and pictures of tractors and oranges waiting to be juiced as well. So we should have a bit of fun over the next hour together, but we should also see what the next generation is looking for in agriculture. That's all coming up on the Country Hour right now, though. Let's head to rural news and Kelly Lazzaro. Kelly.
Thanks, Warwick. Australia's carbon farming industry has reacted quickly to a change of federal government. The value of an Australian carbon credit unit has jumped by 20% since the election on Saturday. Dr. Tim Moore from RegenCo says the Labor government's carbon and emissions reduction policies have had an immediate and significant impact.
So the previous government had a policy of minus 26 to minus 28% of emissions on 2005 levels by 2030. The Labor policy is 43% reduction on that same time frame out to 2030. And so as a consequence, there's an expectation that industry is either going to have to work harder at reducing their emissions or turn to Australian carbon credit units as another pathway to reduce their emissions.
It's a sudden boost to the demand. The carbon
credits. Absolutely. So it effectively, we're anticipating an increased demand as a result of new government policy.
So right now, at roughly $36 per credit, where does Australia sit in terms of the global carbon credit market?
Australia would have to be seen as some of the cheapest carbon credits on regulated markets around the world. Sort of oscillating around about $100 Australian for the EU market. New Zealand's around about $60 Australian. Last time I looked, South Korea is well advanced in pricing on Australia. And so, you know, for those benchmark credit types, Australia is very cheap in comparison to international prices.
To some dairy news now, and Norco will pay its suppliers a record milk price for the coming season, lifting its farm gate prices by an average 12 cents a litre from July the 1st. Both the cooperative and its New South Wales dairy farmers are struggling after the floods hit the northern rivers 3 months ago. Vice President of East Oz Milk and Norco supplier Graham Forbes has congratulated the processor.
It's going to take milk prices, I think, between about 83 and about 85 cents a litre, depending where you're situated in the cooperative. So, look, it's a really needed move to set an industry initiative. I think it'd be great to see consumers continue to support Norco. The sad story behind it is inflation and farm input costs, and it's just horrendous what's going on at the moment. You know, we're seeing some of our costs, particularly fertiliser, up 250%, fuel's up 100%, everything's up 30-25%. So, look, farmers are under enormous pressure, and this is just one step in increasing the milk price. And certainly, we've got to see those other processes follow through with even stronger prices if we can.
Supermarket chain Coles has lifted the milk price it pays to its Tasmanian dairy farmers, even though the farmers are into the second year of a three-year fixed milk price contract. Three dairy farmers supply all of the fresh milk needed for Coles supermarkets in Tasmania, and one of those suppliers, Dave Jones from the Derwent Valley, says the price increase is a welcome relief from high input costs.
You know, I put it to them, like, we're on a fixed contract, like, you don't have to do anything. And they didn't. They don't have to do anything, but they have, which is really lovely. It'll alleviate the dramatic increase in urea, fuel, grain, and wages. And, you know, it'll help us get ahead again because, as everyone knows, inflation's gone a little bit mad this year.
Okay, so you can't tell us the price because of contractual situations, but is it anywhere near what the other mob are offering?
It's above what the other guys are offering, which is nice. Coles have always said they want their suppliers to be sustainable, and a part of sustainability is getting paid enough to be able to be sustainable on an economic front, which then leads to sustainability across all other fields.
And that's Rural News. Back to you, Woz.
Thanks very much for that, Kelly. Kelly Lazaro there with Rural News. You're listening to The Country Hour. We're live from Dookie, the university campus here. For those not familiar with it, it's a very old school, cool looking university campus. You come in these beautiful gates. There's a long sweeping drive up a hill with a big building at the end. And then around that, there is some amazing labs, classrooms, accommodation type buildings, really old historic buildings as well. It just feels like an amazing place of learning. It does continue some of that legacy here, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the reason we're here today, you can hear some of the action in the background, is there's a Food and Fibre Careers Day. Today is about showing particularly kids year 9, 10, 11 in high school deciding on what career they might like to undertake, the doorways into agriculture in all its forms, not just farm ownership, not just working on a farm, but in all sorts of different ways. Some too many to fathom, really. I was hearing stories about, well, HR on farms and compliance to export markets to working in sale yards to artificial insemination experts as well. There's a lot to learn, isn't there? And someone who's been helping put it all together is Karen Edwards, who's a lecturer here at the University of Melbourne Dookie campus, and she can join you on the program now. Karen, thanks for having us today.
Thank you for coming. It's very exciting to have you here.
Tell us a little bit in your words. How would you describe this Careers Day?
A little bit of organised chaos at the moment, but yes, we have over 350 students here on campus. We've got 20 different workshops that they get to go and visit, so they choose what they want to do. They get to register through a registration process, and as you said, it covers all kinds of things from sheep and wool to dairy to getting in the lab and looking at gene technology. We've got a lot of ag tech this year as well. We've got three or four workshops looking at ag tech, and which is the most we've ever had. So that's a very popular and exciting field in agriculture now.
It's pretty dynamic, isn't it? 350 kids here all walking around. They're having lunch at the moment. A Young Farmer Challenge is being set up behind you. But where are all these kids coming from?
Oh, they're a lot of sort of around northern Victoria. So they come from as far away as Echuca and Kerrang over to Wangaratta, down to Euroa. So that, you know, big sweeping region of sort of the Hume region and northern Victoria along the Murray there as well.
So this is pitched at the kids who are either studying it or really interested in actually finding their way in the field, and it's a chance to learn about where to go?
Well, it's actually pitched at any kid, yeah, to, and we want them to come and have a look at all the variety that's on offer in an agriculture career. So it's the science kids, because, you know, it is agricultural science. It's all about biology and chemistry and physics as well. So yeah, anyone who might be, you know, thinking about what they want to do. So come along, have a try. We like to run really hands-on workshops, so kids are doing things as they're learning, and they get to try it out and see if it might be for them. And they'll, you know, kids don't know what they don't know, and we want them to find out a little bit about what's going on in this particular field.
Is it exciting for you? I'd imagine you don't have a lot of days like this, just with so much action. And people are moving in all sorts of directions.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah, it is very exciting. You know, this is the largest number we've had. We've been running this now for about 6, 7, 8 years, and we usually get around 200. This year we've got over 350 heading towards 400, and it's the largest number we've ever had. So that tells me two things. Kids are interested in it, and they've been locked up for a couple of years as well. So they're very keen to get out. You know, when we started planning this, we didn't know how it was all going to go in regards to all the COVID rules and what schools were interested in doing, but they've just taken to this with gusto and sent a whole range of students from different schools, which is fantastic.
And what do you hope the kids coming here today get out of an event like this?
that they just find out a little bit about a career in agriculture, that they find out that, you know, it's not just being a farmer, because very few, you know, I teach the university course and very few of our students actually come off a farm. So, you know, it's those kids who live in a regional area and they find out about jobs in their area and they can stay where they grew up, because if they're from a regional area, there's going to be jobs for them in this particular field.
How did you find your way into coming to Dookie and lecturing here?
Oh, well, it's a little bit roundabout. I kind of fell into this, as so to speak, but found my passion with teaching children, teaching students, young people, found my passion looking after young people and trying to set them on a pathway, and found my passion with agriculture. It's exciting. It's, you know, every day I learn something new. Every day I find out just how interesting it is. Feeding the world.
So if you were a student coming here today for the first time, what classes would have you signed up for?
Oh, that's very interesting. I used to have a career in IT, so I probably would have gone to one of the ag tech classes.
Yep.
I would probably like to do a science-based lab activity as well. And then animals are always very popular, so I'd imagine I'd want to look at something like the sheep and wool, or maybe the dairy as well.
Well, that's
a whole range.
That sounds like
it?
A pretty good day, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
Karen Edwards, well, one, thank you for hosting us here today. And two, thanks for telling us a little bit about the day.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
One of the organisers here, Karen Edwards, lecturer at this campus as well, telling you a little bit about today's program here at the University of Melbourne Dookie campus. So that's where we're broadcasting for you today. There, at the moment, as I speak to you, there are kids putting on aprons and caps and gum boots like they're going to the dairy with a bucket of milk in their hand. We're going to tell you more about what's going on there in just a moment. We've got a couple of kids from the Greater Shepparton City, campus to come and have a chat to us as well. They're busy filming their mates at the moment, which is fantastic, but we'll get to there in just a moment. Sit a little bit closer to the microphone. You can grab that one if you'd like to. First things, do you want to tell us your names?
I'm Kaylee Wilhelms from the Greater Shepparton Secondary College, and I'm in Year 9.
And I'm Tahira Lavara from GSSC, and I'm in Year 10.
So Year 9 and Year 10 kids from Shepparton, which is a pretty big town. What brought you to an agriculture career day here today? Why are you interested in learning a few things here?
I took the Year 9 elective last year, and I found it very interesting just learning about the soil and everything. And then this year, my teacher, Miss Dridden, suggested, and I looked through the subjects that were there, and I just thought it would be an interesting day, and it's been very interesting and educational so far.
What have you done so far, Tahira?
I've done vet tech, which was... It was basically learning about to be a vet, and we went to bandage, and then I'd done Indigenous food, which was learning about the native foods, and we got to eat pancakes.
That doesn't sound too bad either. That's fantastic. Kaylee, have you done the similar classes to Tahira?
I have had a few different ones. I had bees at... learn about a few bees and then sheep and wool.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us a little bit about what you learn at school in terms of agriculture.
Well, I have the same classes here. I have Miss Trinity, but I only started this year. And I just love being... I love animals, so... and the environment, so I just decided to do it.
And what sort of things do you study? What's a normal schoolwork class like in terms of agriculture?
So I don't think they offer an agriculture class in Year 10, but last year it was about learning about the soil and learning about planting vegetables and just what helps it, I guess.
And did you enjoy it?
Yes, very much.
Do you see a career or a future in something like agriculture?
I'm not sure yet.
What are some of the things you'd like to do when you're older?
I've been very interested in teaching or becoming a vet. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. What about you, Kaylee?
I have always loved animals and the environment, so I either want to be a vet or someone that helps out the environment when it's sick or something.
Fantastic. Now, you're snapping photos of your mates. No, I'm loving this. You don't worry. You don't get in trouble for that on the country hour. But they're in the young farmer type challenge at the moment. Are you guys going to have a go at something similar?
Well, that's my year level right now.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Are they doing a good job, do you think?
Yeah, they're doing an amazing job.
One of them looks like they're putting on a hazmat suit at the moment, so I don't really know what they're getting up to.
Yeah, I'm very confused.
Oh, it's great. Well, thank you both for coming and telling us a little bit about it. You're at a brand new school, but it's really interesting to see you here and talk to you about where you see your future. So thanks for joining us on the Country
Thank
Hour.
Thank you.
This is the Country Hour. Warwick Long with you here on the Country Hour today. We're at the Dookie campus for the University of Melbourne, and we're looking at the future of agriculture, and we'll do more of that in just a moment. I'm going to wrangle a few more guests in just a sec, but before we get there, let's take you to some other news today on the Country Hour. If I can make my equipment work here, yes I can. There is some news happening away from us at the moment, and we'll take you to some of that. We'll go to a cooperative research centre which is about to be established to help communities in the Murray-Darling Basin and become more productive, resilient and sustainable. The One Basin CRC has secured $156 million in funding for the 10-year partnership, including $50 million from the federal government. The interim CEO of the CRC, Mike Stewartson, says a team of people have been working on the bid for 3 years and 90 partners are now involved.
Our broad vision is to contribute to making irrigation regions in Australia amongst the most resilient, productive and sustainable in the world. They're already high-performing regions, but we want to contribute to making them stronger. And we're thinking about the whole region, not just the irrigation industry. So we're going to work with our partners across 3 shared areas of opportunity. That's looking at growing economic opportunities to diversify the regional economies to grow their resilience, to support transition in irrigated agriculture with some of the changes they're experiencing, including in markets and in the climate, and improving the efficiency and capacity of the water supply system to meet multiple needs.
Now, the Murray-Darling Basin as a region is a significant area, but you've also got plans to set up regional hubs. Where are they located and how does that fit?
We're going to locate these hubs in the sort of key irrigation regions across the Murray-Darling Basin. They all have different and unique strengths and challenges. So they're going to be located one based in Mildura, one based in Loxton, one based in Griffith in New South Wales, and one based in Queensland in Gundawindi. So there's one in each of those 4 states. And 75% of our staff are going to be located in those hubs, and we'll be working closely with our partners through those hubs.
Because the regions are quite different, are you expecting that the hubs will have different focuses as the CRC becomes established?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for me, I was the director for the Mallee Regional Innovation Centre, which was established in Mildura now 3 years ago. So I've seen that gradually grow and develop a portfolio of projects. So that, for me, is the model on which we've based the One Basin CRC, obviously expanding our horizons to look at 4 separate hubs and working across the Murray-Darling Basin. But we'll work in each of those hubs with our partners to identify their challenges and then co-design projects to address those challenges and engaging with our partners in the delivery of those projects as well. So, yeah, we definitely expect that there'll be different focuses in each hub. But we'll also look, because we've got the scale and the reach across the basin, we'll also be able to draw on synergies and lessons between those different regions as well.
And how soon do you expect to get up and going?
We're going as fast as we can. It's effectively, a startup. We've got to establish a company. This is an independent entity with its own board, so there's a lot of work there. But while we're doing that, we'll also be working with our partners to develop up the project plans. So we'll be doing some work on the content as well over that period. But really, we'll probably officially kind of hit go on the whole program portfolio in about 6 months' time.
There you go. That is Interim CEO of the One Basin CRC, Mike Stewartson, speaking there with Kelly Hollingworth. I'm taking too much time talking to people here today. We are speaking to a lot of young people interested in getting into agriculture and from different walks of life as well, being exposed to it for the first time today at Dookie, the university campus for Melbourne University. And all sorts of people are coming here to learn about agriculture in all its different streams, all its different job opportunities. And that's one of the people we're going to speak to now. Jude Ballantyne is with you, a student from Benalla. Jude, what year are you in? Where do you go to school?
Year 10 in Benalla Peter Pope College.
And are you off a farm?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
We have 30 acres. We mainly run beef. We have Black Angus. We have pigs, chooks, ducks, a horse, one sheep, and yeah.
What's life growing up on a farm like?
Really fun. There's always something to do. Yeah. So.
And what brought you here today?
School had a sign-up sheet, and I always thought about Dookie College and how it's an opportunity, and it seems really cool, so I came to have a look, and yeah.
So where have you been so far? What have you been looking at?
I've done the beef industry and veterinary technology.
Wow. So can you tell us some of the things that they either talk about or you do in those classes?
We talked about different cuts of beef and, like, how the growth of the beef ends up how it does and what stages you have to go through in their life, and yeah. And veterinary technology, we wrapped a bandage on a teddy dog, but yeah, I got second in that, so that was pretty good.
Oh, there you go. I was about to say, were you a good veterinary technician? Oh, that's brilliant. Well done. And what do you want to do when you're older, Jim?
I either want to have a farm or I'd like to be a vet.
Well, and how did you get some ideas today about how you could go or move towards doing that?
Yeah, it seems really cool, and I know GoTAFE has a vet course that I could do, and Dookie has a few beef industry courses that would be pretty cool to try.
So, Jude, thank you so much for telling us about it, and good luck with your future. You've got a bright future ahead of you. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
There you go, Jude Ballantyne speaking to you there. She's from Benalla, is one of the students here today. Lots of students here today. You'll meet more of them as the afternoon goes on. Let's bring in Julie Aldous here on the program now. Julie, grab that microphone there. Former Rural Woman of the Year, heavily involved and very passionate about agricultural education, which could be a forgotten thing sometimes in the school curriculum. What's it like for you to be, one, involved and to see days like this where there's 350 kids interested in agricultural education?
Oh, thanks, Warwick. It's great to be here and it's great to see so many students here. My role, I have to say, has been very much as a limited one because I'm part of a committee, but my role in schools is finished. But I'm supporting any schools I can with programs. Anyone who wants to be in touch, I'm happy to that. As for the Rural Woman of the Year, that was many moons ago now.
Oh, just a couple of years. Is it exciting, though? 350 kids, is it not insignificant for a catchment in northeast Victoria to have interested in farming?
It's great, Warwick, and it's just so lovely to see that the staff, it's an indication of the staff. Perhaps that means there's a greater acknowledgement of the career pathways, because that certainly hasn't been the case in the past.
It's something that you've always fought for, isn't it? An increased acknowledgement of pathways into agriculture in schools.
Yes, and it's often a forgotten area for teachers who are completely focused on good results for their students, but they forget that some of those good results could be actually in their own community, whether they be through TAFE or whether they be through going to uni and coming back.
There's controversy going on behind you, Julie. One of the buckets full of milk in the Young Farmer Challenge has spilled. There's a lot of red faces, but I think a hero has come in to save the day behind you. We'll tell you more about what's going on in that in a few moments' time, but if you can hear some laughter, that's exactly what's going on. Tell me about some of the people you've interacted with today, Julie.
My role on the committee was to organise the careers panel, and apart from having you on it, Warwick, we had some lovely young people. We had a young girl, Connie Jacquetin from Mansfield, who is working in the beef and cropping on a local farm there and doing some work with feedlots. We had Scott Purcell, also from Mansfield, who's working on a beef property and had a mixed background in a whole range of different pathways. We had Jack, whom I believe you're going to speak to shortly, who comes from a big broadacre cropping. And we had Andy, who was from a logistics side of a large company.
Corporate agriculture
that's dealing with citrus. So really good. And we had a lovely young woman who has had suffered an acquired injury through falling from a horse, but whose background is in veterinary science, and she did vet science at CSU, and that's Maddie Allen.
And what's interesting about that, and what's interesting about nearly any room I've walked into over the afternoon or the morning as we move into the afternoon, is that a lot of the people speaking aren't just, oh, I was born a farmer, I stayed a farmer. A lot of people have found their way into agricultural careers, whether it be through business or whether it be through science or any other means, through different ways, which shows you, I suppose, there's still a career path there, isn't there?
Yes, and I think that's our challenge, Warwick. How do we get to expose students who don't come from those backgrounds and show them that there are pathways? And we saw that, discussed this morning, students saying you could go into any stock and station agent and have conversations with them about where they could get employment to get the practice that they need to be experienced.
That's exciting, isn't it, though?
It's great fun.
If that's the challenge and the jobs are there, half the work is done, isn't it?
Oh, look, the other half, I'd have to say, if I can go on my absolute hobby horse.
Get on the hobby horse.
Is that schools still think that they've got to replicate, because they're running a VCE course, that they've still got to replicate the farm in some miniature way at the school. And I think that is such a mistake. It's not cost effective. It's not sustainable because the teacher, passionate teacher, leaves and the school can't maintain it. But it is the fact that down the road, outside of the school, there is state-of-the-art practice occurring on the farm. So all the schools have got to do is form partnerships with their local farms.
Yeah, so a school doesn't need to build a robotic dairy or even any form of dairy on a school or have a beef stud or anything like that. You can actually access that if you connect with local farmers who generally want to help, don't they, the next generation?
The industry people are overwhelmingly generous, and we heard that in the careers meeting this morning, a young man who's managing a property and wasn't sure of a lot of things, and he said you only have to ask and people will help. And that's what I found every day of the week. We've had, I think I said goodbye to something like 300 farmers in the northeast when I left the job earlier this year.
How's retirement going? You sound like you're as passionate as ever.
I do like to put my hand up.
Are you really retired?
Yes, I am. But I'm very happy to help any schools that need it because the background is there. We don't need someone inventing it or reinventing the wheel.
Well, Julie Aldous, thank you again for having us here today, but thank you for taking us through a little bit about the behind the scenes and how to get the most out of agriculture in schools.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Warwick.
Julie Aldous speaking to you there. This is the Country Hour. We are live from Dookie at the University of Melbourne campus for the Food and Fibre Careers Day. I'm going to tell you more about this farmer challenge that's going on. There are tractor breakdowns, there is spilt milk, there is juicing oranges, there's flannies, there's singlets, there's something that looks like hazmat suits. But you're going to have to stick around to learn more about that. Right now, let's find out what's making regional news headlines. Richard Crabtree has those for you again today. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Warwick. The Coroner's Court of Victoria has found that a snap border closure was not a significant factor in the death of a South Australian truck driver in February last year. 47-year-old Stephen Laurie died when his B-double crashed into a stationary truck waiting in the lineup to cross the South Australian border on the Western Highway near Surviston. Investigations found that Mr. Laurie was driving at around 98 kilometres per hour and there was no evidence of braking before the crash, which occurred at around 20 past 2 in the morning. Coroner Simon McGregor determined unexplained driver error was the most likely cause of the fatal collision, rather than the border checkpoint, fatigue, or falling asleep at the wheel. A California gully man will face a Bendigo court today after allegedly being caught with more than $1 million worth of marijuana. Police allege there was a large quantity of plants and dried cannabis inside the house on Eagle Hawk Road in Bendigo. The man is charged with cultivating and trafficking cannabis, theft, resisting police, and more. Almost 10% of ballots have been counted in the federal seat of Wannon as a two-candidate preferred count continues. The Australian Electoral Commission website shows incumbent Liberal MP Dan Tehan with a narrow lead of 440 votes ahead of independent candidate Alex Dyson. The normally safe Liberal seat in Western Victoria has been held by the party since the 1950s. A proud Noorunga woman says this year's National Sorry Day is tinged with hope. Sarah Jane Hall is co-chair of the Ballarat Koori Engagement Action Group and led yesterday's Sorry Day ceremony at Ballarat's Queen Victoria Square. Ms. Hall says she's hopeful the new Prime Minister will provide Indigenous voices a greater platform in government and respond to a community-driven push to change the date of Australia Day. And Horsham will kickstart Reconciliation Week tonight by unveiling its new silo art. The painting on the silo in Horsham North depicts the story of famous Whatcha Bullock man Yang Jenjinanook, who tracked down and saved three missing children in 1864 after authorities failed to do so. Yang Jenjinanook was also a member of the first Australian cricket team to tour England in 1868. And that's all the news for now, Warwick. For more, visit the ABC News website or your local ABC Facebook page.
Sterling job, Richard, but I bet you wish you were here because someone's just delivered a salad roll for me as well. So life is good here at Dookie. Food is here. We've got now next line of guests coming up. The finals are coming up too in some of the young agricultural farmer relays that's going on over behind the country, our broadcast set up here. But before any of that, many of you will be waiting to find out what's happening weather-wise where the clouds are rolling in here at Dookie. Miriam Bradbury can tell us more. Miriam, what's the weather looking like today and am I going to get rained on?
That's a tricky question. Certainly a lot of cloud around associated with the trough that's crossing those eastern districts of Victoria at the moment. If you do get rained on, it's likely to be a fairly light passing shower through the afternoon period. However, further to the northeast of Victoria, we could see some slightly more moderate falls up to possibly 15, 20 millimetres in the far northeast of Victoria today with the chance of a thunderstorm. Elsewhere, we're just looking at isolated showers across the east today with a few more isolated showers redeveloping about the southwest later this afternoon as another weak front sort of brushes that southwestern coast. Having a look at the weekend, we're generally looking at cool days, foggy mornings for both Saturday and Sunday, with isolated light showers continuing. For our Saturday, those showers are mostly going to be through the eastern districts once again, with another 5 to 15 millimetres possible for those far easternmost parts of the northeast and east Gippsland districts. Elsewhere, generally looking at rainfall totals less than around 3 millimetres in the south and east. And by Sunday, showers really easing off and mostly just about the coasts there. But really, it's Monday and Tuesday we need to talk about. We are expecting a much stronger low-pressure system and a cold front moving across the state across that early period next week, expected to bring some fairly significant weather to most parts. So how that will play out is on Monday, we'll start to see showers and rain areas developing across the west during Monday morning, pushing across those central and eastern parts through the afternoon. Now, the rain is going to be heaviest on and north of the ranges. We could see between 10 and 30 millimetres on and north of the ranges. And this is including large parts of the Wimmera, Mallee and Northern Country, with those rainfall totals possibly reaching up to around the 35, 40 millimetre mark about the northeast ranges, or with any thunderstorms that do develop, because they are a risk across those northern parts on Monday as well. In addition to the showers and storms, strong and gusty winds are on the cards, particularly with any showers and storms, so another thing to be mindful of there. In the south, much lower rainfall totals expected, generally between 5 and 15 millimetres. But going into Tuesday, as that front sort of moves to the east, we're going to see very cold and vigorous southerly winds pushing up across Victoria in the wake of that system. So that means further showers, mostly on and south of the ranges. And with those showers, they will bring the possibility of some small hail. So while it's not going to be quite as wet, it's certainly going to be very wintry going into that Tuesday. That's also when we're expecting the lowest snow level, possibly down as low as 700 metres. So snow about a lot of the elevated parts of Victoria also on the cards. So a few settled days ahead, but a lot coming for Monday and Tuesday.
Oh, Miriam, thank you very much for that. Miriam Bradbury there, Senior Forecaster at the Bureau of Meteorology. We are live at Dookie today, Food and Fibre Careers Day, 350-odd kids. At the moment, they're tipping milk into it's not even milk now, it looks like water. I think there's been too many mishaps happening today. There is carrying wool and soccering balls through goals. We'll get to some of that in a few moments' time. But I wanted to speak to some of the people presenting here, because one of the interesting things about walking around earlier today is it's not all old people telling everybody how to get into careers. It's a lot of young people forging their paths as well, similar paths to what these students are going to go through as well. And I've got three of them with me. Scott Purcell, Connie Jacatine and Jack Truick are all with us at the moment. Scott, I suppose I'm going to start with you because the microphone's on and it's right in front of you. How did you find your way into agriculture? Because you've done a lot of things to eventually get where you are, didn't you?
Pretty much. Always had a passion in farming and cattle, especially genetics. I had a few school-based, not apprenticeships, but school placements on farms growing up, and then I went tree lopping for 6 years and just decided after a while that I wanted to be back farming again, and landed the job I'm at now, managing a Hereford commercial operation in Mansfield, and then eventually starting my own speckled park stud as well.
So you got your stud on the side, you're managing an operation. Before you got into your speckled park stud, you were breeding rodeo bulls?
Yeah.
How did you find yourself doing that?
Well, pretty much my whole family's into the rodeo scene, so through my brother and I riding bulls, we wanted some practice bulls, so we just sort of, we started buying Brahman type cattle out of the sale yards and riding them, and then eventually bred some more serious ones, and just only leasing land, it got a bit difficult keeping them in and keeping neighbours happy once the bulls were getting out and whatnot.
I was about to say, rodeo bulls don't strike me as ones that want to stay inside any fences.
Nah, not particularly at all. No, it was definitely good fun, but you got to be set up pretty well to go down that path. So.
What's it like for you then, suddenly to be seen as, hey, this is a career in agriculture this guy's found his way into, and you're talking about it in front of a room of school kids?
I think it's awesome. Like, I remember doing this exact thing back when I was this age of these kids, and I don't know, I've always just saw one of my goals in the future is being able to have like the ag class come out to my farm one day, and for Julie to ring me up and say, can you come talk to the ag kids? I was stoked. I'm like, yeah, must be kicking some sort of goal somewhere.
That's good. And, cool. And another point you made, I suppose, when we talk pathways in agriculture, land's never been more expensive, cattle have never been more expensive at the moment, but you've found your way there through leasing properties around the Mansfield area, which is pretty tightly held and it's expensive country.
It is.
How'd you do that?
I think pretty much, I don't know, you've got to create your own opportunities. So with leasing land, I just sort of, there's a lot of Melbourne money in Mansfield, a lot of small blocks of land that have been divided up from bigger farms, and a lot of people don't really know how to run them or what to do with them, so it's pretty easy to get leased property around there and sort of work your way in that way.
Beautiful. I've got a text message here on the line, 0467 842 722. Simply says, how good is Scott? So, Scott, there you go. You might be happy to be here, but people are happy to hear you as well. No pressure. Connie Jacquetine's our next person to have a chat to on the program today. Connie, well, I was going to get you to describe your job, but it's not a job, is it? It's jobs. You do a lot in agriculture.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. Like, being in Mansfield on the sheep and cattle enterprise, it's a lot there, and then doing all the scanning and weighing in Shepparton and Euroa.
At the sale yards?
At the sale yards, yep. And then trying to, like, getting onto feedlots and stuff, it's just busy, busy.
So what's a week like for you?
Here, there and everywhere, really.
no normal week. It's not Monday here, Tuesday there.
Oh, yep. It's sort of getting into a routine, like Monday Mansfield, Tuesday Shepparton. The first Tuesday of every month I'll be in Euroa of the night, and then I'll go back to Mansfield for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then back up to sort of Barmer for the weekend or Numurkah or wherever there's work, really.
And you loved agriculture. It was your sort of pathway through school. Can you tell our audience sort of how you found your way and what qualifications you earned along the way?
So in year nine, I had a choice of doing graphics or agribusiness, and I was like, I don't like graphics, so I'm going to do agribusiness. And I loved it from there, so I did my Cert 2 in year nine, my Cert 3 over year 10 and 11, and my Cert 4 through year 12.
So Certificate 4 in agriculture you had before you left school?
Yeah.
Was that good for you? Did it give you confidence that you could make your way in an industry?
Yeah, but like being a woman in ag, it's not easy. Having like the qualifications behind you sort of makes it a bit easier.
Yep. I know what I'm doing. Look at this. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just easier coming out and being like, right, I can go straight into a job. Like, I'm still with the people I am that I started with back in 2016. They've been great. They've encouraged me through everything, which I've really enjoyed.
And what would you say to people thinking, is agriculture for me, particularly, as you say, being a woman in ag, what would you say to young girls thinking about getting into agriculture today?
Just give it a go. Like, there's nothing really to lose. Like, people are going to shut you down, but that's all part of life. You just build yourself back up and make a name for yourself. And like, look what I am now. Everybody wants me.
Yeah, well, we wanted you to come and talk to us, so that's true. Beautiful. Connie, well done. Thank you. You're obviously still proving people wrong. I'll get you to hand the microphone over to Jack. Jack Truick, who's Elmore Way Jack. Tell us about your farming operation.
So I'm from Elmore. We're a broadacre enterprise. We grow wheat, barley, canola, oats and lupins and do a fair bit of export hay.
And so you had a farm history behind you. There was thousands of acres behind you.
Yeah.
But you still had to have a path through schools into agriculture. Why was that?
Yeah, so I always wanted to leave school since I was a little tacker.
You said grade three. You told mum and dad you wanted to quit.
Yeah, I wanted to leave and they kept me at school because I just had to go to school back then.
Yep.
And I got to the end of year nine and I was like to mum and dad, I'm leaving. I'm not coming back here. I don't want to be here. Can't force me to be here.
Yep.
And then they said, no, if you come home now, you're not allowed to come home on the farm. So we ended up finding myself a Cert 3 in agriculture, completed that in year 10, then continued to move on to do a Cert 4 in agriculture in year 11 and 12.
And has that helped you since returning to the farm?
Yeah, it's more defined all the little aspects of farming, all the little stuff that you would learn, but it would take you years and years to learn, where by doing my certs, I've been able to learn it on paper, then been able to take it from there out into the paddock and do it there.
And now, so you're someone who wanted to quit school in grade three.
Yeah.
You're now here with rooms full of school students wanting to learn from you.
Yeah, that's
What's that
it.
Like?
It's pretty good, actually. I'm actually telling kids now to stay at school, which is weird because I never wanted to be at school. But now I'm out of school, I couldn't recommend staying in school for longer. And yeah, all the employers nowadays want a year 12 graduate. They don't want someone who's dropped out.
So I suppose we've got you. It's a pretty wet sort of start to the season. Are you feeling pretty good at how things are looking on farm right now?
Yeah, it's looking really good. Everything's up and at, sort of up and going now. And yeah, it's looking really good. Real good start to the year.
And I loved mentioning your farm because you're someone, a lot of people say, oh, the only pathway to farm ownership or anything is like inheriting a farm and being part of a farming system like what you've come through. When you come to an event like this and you see how many kids are hungry to get into your industry, what does that feel like for your pathway?
It feels really good. It shows that you don't need a farm to be a farmer. How you can come out of anywhere just with the compassion and the want to be a farmer, and if you've got the want and the determination, you can do it. You can do anything.
Well, Jack, thank you for talking to us. Connie, thank you for joining us, and Scott as well. I think you guys being the generation above what's coming through here, we're in good hands. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Douglas.
There you go. Connie, Jacatine, Jack Truick and Scott Purcell speaking to you there on the program. Let me just pull my mic away from my face a little bit because I need to get someone's attention. Laura, come over here. Laura's on the way to come and speak to you. Laura Van Coolen, grab that microphone there if you can. I've got her while she's got the biggest salad roll ever in her hand, so I feel kind of mean doing this to you, Laura, but you've been busy until now and I really wanted to get some of this detail from you. You've been helping run the competition on Behind Us. We've got a couple of participants, but this Young Farmer Challenge, it looks pretty epic.
Yes, it's pretty great. Rihanna's done a great job in setting it up. And I think there's lots of competition within it. I didn't realise how competitive it was until I was setting up the teams.
And so there's four teams and they've been through heats. Everybody in the country has probably been hearing what's going on behind it. I've been describing spilt milk and kicking balls and so forth. But can you take me through, put your best Bruce McAvaney commentary voice on and tell me really how this relay works. How does it start? What do you do?
So it explores different industries within agriculture. So you start with, as a shearer, you put your shearing singlet on, you pick up your wool and you have to kick your ball between two witches' hats.
So you're carrying a big fleece, kicking a ball.
Yes, yes. Then you have to put it in a box, and then the next person starts. And the next person is a dairy farmer. They put on their apron, they put on the gumboots, they put on the hat, and they carry their bucket of milk, which is actually just water and paint.
Yep.
They bring it to the middle, and then they have to fill up a 2-litre carton of milk.
Yep, and we saw some spills earlier. It looked disastrous. Yep, that can really affect your time.
Somebody tried to put the milk carton in the bucket to fill it up, but then they were almost disqualified because that wasn't allowed. Oh. So you have to pour it in. And then they take it to the next end. Then the next person,
where there are four tractors lined up. And I mean pictures. There's a New Holland, there's a Case, there's a Deere. I don't know what the fourth one is.
Yep.
But so literally they're putting on a mini tractor.
Yeah, they're putting on a mini tractor. They're putting on the flanny and the hat as well to go with the tractor outfit. And then they have to run to their other end. But then halfway through, their tractor breaks, so to speak. So they have to unlock a little thing on a piece of wood that's essentially fixing their tractor.
Yep. So you got to do a bit of mechanical repairs. Yeah. They need to unlock something, do a bit of screwing of a nut and a bolt by
really
the looks of it.
Really explores all the kinds of like skills that you would need.
That's your hands on.
Yeah, that's it. And then with your tractor still on you and your bale of hay,
which is a biscuit of loosened hay.
Yeah. You bring it to the other end. That's you done as a tractor driver. And the next person who works in food and fibre starts. Mm-hmm. So they have to squeeze enough oranges to make a like cup full of orange juice. And then they have to plant a few pieces of parsley into a little planter, and they got to put it all on a tray that has an egg on it and carry it to the other end.
Can't drop the orange juice.
But also that's the last thing, so everybody's running. So they're running with it. Eggs are flying everywhere. Orange juice is flying everywhere, but it's lots of fun.
What's been the best technique you've observed so far? What are the keys to it?
I did see somebody instead of using the actual juicer, they just squeezed the orange juice straight into the
crushed
cup.
Crushed it in their hand.
I don't know if that's cheating or not. I haven't spoken to the judges, but it was a really effective method.
And you've been timing? What's a good time?
I think the winning time, I'm not sure. It was because there's been multiple heats, but there was one that was 5 minutes, 15 seconds and... Oh, okay, 4:09.
We got a couple of competitive guys who are going to tell us all about it soon.
Yeah, so that's around about a good time. Lots of them were around the 5-minute mark, so I guess that's the average. And then there's been a few longer ones, but everybody's finished it, so they've not just given up, which is what you like to see.
Exactly. Now, you're a student ambassador for CSU. You've been here, so you're a university student anyway.
Yeah.
You're seeing all this interest in a career, in an agriculture careers day like this. Is it inspiring for you to be around something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great to see young people that are interested in different stuff, or even if they're not interested, they're learning about what they could be interested in the future. Yeah, it's great.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for taking us the blow-by-blow relay, which is exactly what I wanted. You can get back to your lunch now. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
I'll get you to hand the microphone there to James. We've got Tom as well. James and Tom Wilkinson are both from Wangaratta. Tell us, what school are you from? What year levels are you in?
I'm from Cathedral College, and so is Tom. I'm in year 8 and Tom's in year 10.
And what brings you two here today? What's your interest in agriculture?
We've grown up on a farm, and Dad's still got the farm, and we actually have an Angus stud. So
yep, keep talking.
We've got a big interest in sort of like the livestock side of things, and
this is
we
fantastic.
Really like cattle.
Yeah. And, so did you start the Angus stud?
Yeah, me and James. And
you too.
It's sort of a family stud.
Yeah. But you guys are driving it.
Yeah, so in 2019 we started it.
How old were you then, Tom?
I was 13 or 14.
How old were you, James?
I was 11.
You were 11 and you started a cattle stud.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So what's it called?
Mystic Angus.
How many head have you got?
A 100, would it be?
Yeah, we've done a lot of
embryo
transfer and we got a lot of calves.
We've been doing embryo transfer for the last couple of years. And, it's been... it's really interesting and to sort of be part of...
That's amazing.
Agriculture in this way.
Yeah, I reckon. I'm going to talk to you more in a minute. We've just got a formal presentation happening at the moment. Hello, what's your name?
My name's Rihanna.
Rihanna, you've been running the Young Farmer Challenge behind us. You've been draping something around our two guests on the Country Hour. Can you tell us all about it?
Yes, Cathedral College are the official champions of the Food and Fibre Schools Team Relay. Well done.
So we got first place ribbons being draped along these guys. And their teammates are now up behind us getting their awards. Well, congratulations, guys. That's amazing.
Thanks.
Tell us about your effort in the relay. How did it go?
Well, I started off and I was a shearer and... Yeah, pretty fast.
So you had to carry the wool and kick through the girls. You must have done it fast. Who was second?
Alex was second. He was the dairy farmer.
And I can't believe you won, because when Alex made the fatal mistake of putting on his apron before the gumboots, and I thought that was going to slow him down because he didn't have enough room for the legs to get the gumboots on. But you still must have done a good job, Alex, because you got through. So who was the tractor driver?
I was the tractor driver.
So how did you fix it? How did you fix the tractor?
Oh, it was sort of I screwed it on as far as I could with my hand, and then I got it on the and just spun it around
fast as I could.
Well done. And who was bringing it home? Our horticulture worker there. Squeeze the oranges.
Max brought it home.
We got a 10-second time violation.
Oh, you were the guys who crushed the orange in your hand. Max, your hands are legendary.
Pretty sticky at the moment.
Well, there we go. He was saying his hands are pretty sticky at the moment, as you would be if you've just literally crushed an orange with them. And what was the winning time in the end? Do we know what the winning time was?
409.
Well,
we got
done,
a 359, but then we got a 10-second violation because we forgot the egg.
You forgot the egg.
Yeah.
We just got a couple of people around us, but can we have a cheer for Cathedral College, guys? Fantastic. And the second place school's over behind us. Who was the second place school? Cobram Secondary College came in second as well. Fantastic effort. And Shepparton, oh, Greater Shepparton came third. There we go. So Young Farmer Challenge live updates. That's exactly what you listen to the Country Hour for. Warwick, along with you on the Country Hour. We're broadcasting from the Dookie Food and Fibre Career Days. Tom and James Wilkinson are with you. They've got their own Angus cattle stud, the 100 head of cattle, doing embryo transfers. We were learning about that before you guys so rudely had to be awarded winning sashes for your effort in the Young Farmer Challenge. What's your favourite animal? What's the best animal you've got so far?
Oh, we've got some good bulls. I probably like
R5.
R5,
yeah. He's for sale, like, right now.
Yeah.
If you get on Auctions Plus right now, he's for sale.
Oh, well, I don't know if we're technically allowed to do that on the ABC, but I'll allow it. James, that's brilliant. So R5, you don't even give them names. You just give them a letter and a number.
Yes, his name is actually Ranger, Mystic Ranger.
Mystic Ranger. Yeah. So you're in. So an R year was what, last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then last 18 year months S, old. And this year's T.
So what names? Can you give me some good names you've been giving animals so far?
Some of the time we just give them names of their sires. So if it's a well-known sire, like we've imported
semen
from
America.
New Zealand.
Yep.
And it was Turo Ragnar. So they're the calves by him. We'll just use his name for them as a sort of advertise,
To show you where you got the genetics from.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Do you want to stay in... Do you see a future in the beef industry, or do you want to explore something else in agriculture?
I sort of see a future in the beef industry because prices are sort of skyrocketing at the moment.
Brilliant. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, so I really like cattle. I've got an interest in more... in the cropping side of things as well. I really like sort of like cropping. Like, I've been considering, so when I finish school, maybe going to uni and doing like a rural science degree and then doing agronomy or something. Yeah, like
fantastic.
That.
And what classes or what little talks have you been to today so far?
We went to Internet of Things.
Oh, cool. What did you get from that?
And we made a robotic irrigation system, which was fully automated and,
Yeah.
Was that interesting to you?
Yeah, very
interesting. So it was like it could tell the moisture in the soil, and then it just irrigated every time it thought there wasn't enough moisture in the soil until it got to that right, that peak amount.
Does that make you excited about what you could do in agriculture in the future?
It's really exciting because I feel like we've only just started to touch the surface of the technology that's going to be developed in the next 20 or 30 years.
Beautiful. And guys, like, you're obviously both off a farm, keenly interested in agriculture. You're here today, part of a winning championship winning team here in the Young Farmer Challenge. But what's it like being interested in agriculture at school? Are you different to the other guys, or do people think it's cool? You tell me.
Well, at school recently we got 2 potty calves, and which is pretty fun because
I feel like it's sort of a bit different, but I feel that it's becoming more Common. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot more kids than there used to be, I reckon. Yeah.
But a bit more recognised.
Yeah, definitely. I think people are sort of starting to have an interest in it since there's been a lot of money in it sort of the last 2 years going forward, and it looks like a bright future, yeah.
Well, Tom and James, congratulations on your win today, but congratulations on what you're doing and for talking to us so eloquently. We've really enjoyed our time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tom and James Wilkinson, look out for them. They've apparently got a bull for sale on Auctions Plus right now. Not that we're promoting that here at the ABC. It's just a statement of fact. It's been awesome being with you today at the Country Hour here at Dookie College for Food and Fibre Careers. I think you'll agree that the future is in good hands with all the people we spoke to, not only some of the presenters, but the people taking part as well. Some fantastic texts coming in. Thanks, Warwick and Dookie College, for this fantastic opportunity for the kids, building enthusiasm and interest in agriculture, says Jude's mum and dad on the text line. And g'day, Warwick. Congratulations to Dookie for running this day. We surely need to encourage as many into all aspects of agriculture as we can. Fundamental to this are days like today to raise kids' eyes to the possibility of agriculture. Well done to all for covering it as well. There is Stuart from Ballarat's thoughts as well. It's been great. We've had a big week, elections and everything like that. It's just been awesome to talk about careers in agriculture. Thanks for joining us for this last hour. We'll catch you again in the studio on Monday.